On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, it is part two of the South Carolina football season preview predictions, including the back half of the schedule and the overall season record prediction. And also, there is some exciting news out of the athletic department. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 174 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And Gamecock Nation, can you feel it in your bones? Single digits away. We are single digits away from kickoff. If you're listening to this around the time of its release, it's next weekend. It's not this far-off thing anymore. We have made it. I posted this video on my Instagram, and it just, to the Christmas music, it is the most wonderful time of year. I mean, it really is. Football season, it brings us all together. You know what you're doing for the next several months. You know who you're going to be talking to and all that jazz. You know your blood pressure is going to be elevated, so you know it's all right. But man, I'm just so freaking excited, y'all. So freaking excited. Have a fun episode for y'all here. It is the part two, the conclusion of my season preview, my schedule preview, and then I'll end up with thoughts on my predictions for the overall record and everything like that. But before I do, we are still doing Gamecock facts and trivia from my daily calendar here. Her days are numbered. You know, when we really get rolling with the seasons and all the other predictions and, you know, crows to the game and everything like that, it doesn't quite fit in the agenda. So I don't know. I don't know if this is the last one. We might give her one more go for the game preview next episode. But nonetheless, it is a piece of trivia for y'all. Can you name the 2021 University of South Carolina Athletics Hall of Fame inductee who, at the time of his induction, still held the Gamecocks program record for career completion percentage? 2021 Hall of Fame inductee, high percentage induction. That is my man, Connor Shaw. And yes, it is. I hope y'all got that right. Shout out to one of the GOATs, one of the best to ever don the Garnet and Black, Connor Shaw. I sat next to Shaw for a semester and it was great. I mean, we didn't speak. We weren't, you know, I'm not going to claim to be friends with the guy. But he would just be grinding film. And then when we beat Georgia in 2012, I said, hey, man, that was a hell of a game. And he was like, it's pretty sick, right? I said, yeah. So that's my Connor Shaw story. Connor, if you listen to this, shout out to your classmate. And come on to the show. Come on anytime. But before I jump into the rest of the preview here, there was a very fun piece of news that Shane Beamer actually announced. But it's, you know, obviously coming from the athletic department, and it is Darude, the man, the DJ, the producer who created the song Sandstorm. He is coming to Columbia for the Kentucky game. He's going to be doing a pregame concert before the game, and then he's going to be the celebrity starter to start the Gamecocks chant before the game, and I freaking love this. I absolutely freaking love this. This is long overdue. And, like, yeah, I recognize that Sandstorm is a real song. You know, you can go to professional sports and you may hear it. You may go to even other colleges. You may hear it. It's our song. No other school, no other team gets hype for Sandstorm like South Carolina. That is our song. And I think he's going to be blown away by when he sees it in person. And the energy for that game is going to be off the charts. I'm going to get into that in a few minutes here, but we're not there yet in the season preview here. So going to pick up where I left off. If you haven't realized by now, there is a part one to my schedule preview, which is the first six games. I won't hate you for it. You can pause and go back and check it out, because I am picking up now at the halfway point in the Gamecocks season. I currently have South Carolina sitting at 4-2 with losses to Georgia and Tennessee. And right now, if we're envisioning where we'll be sitting, the Gamecocks will be coming off a very satisfying redemption game at home against Florida, getting the win, which brings us up to speed for Game 7 as the Gamecocks are going to Missouri to take on Mizzou for the Mayor's Cup. And, you know, I've said this a little bit before, but Mizzou has had a meteoric rise in my charts for most annoying team. You know, it used to be kind of fun, like, you know, oh, I want the Mayor's Cup. Like, oh, Mizzou, like, you're new to the SEC. Like, cool. You know, like, yeah, we'll play. We've had some close games with them. Connor Shaw, speaking of him, heroic effort. But in recent years, they have just gotten progressively more and more annoying for a team that really, like, should not be in the SEC. It's just, get out of here. Go back to the new Big 12. Go back to the Big 16, the Big 22, whatever the hell they are. They are the most annoying team. And more so, it's just they have the most annoying coach in Drinkwitz. And it, for whatever reason, stupid-ass Drinkwitz has South Carolina's number. It just makes absolutely zero sense. At App State and then at Missouri, he just has the number for South Carolina. And just considering his teams have been average year in and year out, it just makes zero sense that he can just consistently beat South Carolina. Last year, the Tigers went 6-6. They always seem to manage to have a couple of solid skill position players. And their defense improved last year for sure, but they've always been able to kind of hang around on defense. They made a noticeable improvement last year. And it's Drinkwitz. I hate to say it, but, you know, he's good at creating mismatches. You know, he's good enough to sort of eke out the best of his players. And he's good at hanging with teams and exploiting what he feels he can do, right? But this game this year, this game last year, right, it really felt like a game that the Gamecocks lost rather than Mizzou winning. You know, you remember there was all this momentum that South Carolina had at that point in the year. Game was at home. I believe it was even homecoming weekend. And it just, the team was just did not have it. They just didn't have the juice. So the game this year, it's in Missouri. So there always is that, right? Like having to play on the road. But I just don't think Columbia, Missouri is the most intimidating place in the world to play. It can certainly be tricky for opposing fans, you know, but it's not this 100,000 seat stadium. It's just crappy turf with a crappy hill in fake Columbia. It's just a tricky place to play. And it's funny that this game comes after Florida, because this has to be another redemption type of game for Shane Beamer and company. I mean, granted, you know, next year divisions, they're going away. But teams like Mizzou are the ones that you have to consistently beat to solidify yourself as a top half and top tier SEC team. I don't know if y'all caught the interview that happened towards the beginning of the offseason with the podcast Bussin' with the Boys, and they had Shane Beamer on, and they were just kind of joking around with him, and they're like, if you could fight one other SEC coach, who would it be? And Shane Beamer, you know, being the polite guy that he is, he was never going to name names, you know, but he played along a little bit. He said he likes everyone. He said, but there is one guy that him and his wife have talked about and said, you really got to wipe that smirk off his face. And I 1,000% think he's talking about Drinkwitz, because he does have a stupid ass smirk. But he just needs to beat this guy. Now, this year, Missouri, they have a late bye this year in their schedule. So it's after this game. So they're going to be banged up and wore down by the time they're playing South Carolina. So I think the Gamecocks are going to be sharper to start games in general this year. And I think it shows big time here. Pencil me in for Carolina winning this game to improve to 5-2. And now after that game comes game 8 against Texas A&M in College Station. This marks the only back-to-back road games South Carolina has on the schedule, which I think is very advantageous for us. But the question going into this game is, what do we make of Texas A&M, right? I mean, last year, their season went very, very different than most people predicted, ending at 5-7. And to think they're ranked in the AP preseason poll is beyond me. That's a sham. That's a sham. But because of that, they had to bring in a new OC. But the question around that is, how much say will he really have? You know, Jimbo Fisher has been running his offense for forever. So is he giving the keys to someone else to modernize his offense? Or is it more of a cosmetic change? Now, they've recruited well over the last couple of years, but this top class that they had, I guess it would have been going into this time last year, right? They've had some guys leave, enter the transfer portal after the whole debacle that was last year. You know, this program seems like it has all of the pressure of the world on it to break through and find a way to the playoffs, but, you know, we just haven't seen it. In fact, I did some digging. They have not won double-digit games in a season since 2012. That's over 10 years ago. And yet, every year, they are talked about as this program that is ready to do that and more. So it's just this weird dynamic that is the Texas A&M football program, where you see the money that they put into it, and you see the expectations, and you see the recruiting class, and the big-name veteran head coach, and you just kind of think, yeah, they're just always really, really good. They just play with Alabama and LSU. It's like, actually, you know, they've been good. They haven't been great, though, which is what the media always builds them up to be. So from a far outsider's point of view, I think you have to talk about the culture in that locker room, especially if this year they are middle of the road or less. But there's always a but. The fact remains that because of that pressure, Jimbo Fisher knows he has to improve. And he's been doing this long enough, and I think he's decently smart enough to make some adjustments in and around his team. And the fact also remains that Kyle Field is a tough place to play. Maybe not last year, but every other year, that's a very tough place to play, especially at night. And these matchups between Carolina and the Aggies have tended to be at night more times than not. So this feels like a close game to me. This feels low scoring to me. I hate seeing our guys go all the way to College Station. That place has, it's just been a house of horrors for Gamecock football. And unfortunately, I do think this one slips away from Carolina on the road to drop the team to 5-3 with a month to go in the regular season. But the perfect way to wash that taste out of our mouths comes the following week as the Gamecocks head home to one of the most anticipated games of the 2023 regular season. That's right. I'm talking about South Carolina versus Jacksonville State. I'm talking about Gamecocks versus Gamecocks, the only other school that's a Gamecock. Cockpocalypse, Cocknado, Gamecock Squared. Whatever you call it, this game is a momentous occasion for all of college football, especially Gamecock fans from both the Palmetto and the Sunshine State. Just so fun. They should play this game every year. We should have the Palmetto Bowl and then a Cockpocalypse every year. How cool is that? The two programs that are Gamecocks going up against each other. But this game, in all seriousness, it does come at the perfect time for South Carolina. This will end a streak of six consecutive SEC games, so it will hopefully allow the team to catch their breath a bit. And it also starts a month, November, where the Gamecocks do not leave Williams-Brice once. So you sort of pay your dues the 2 weeks prior. You're on the road, still in the SEC, still grinding. But you come home, a little bit of a breather, and you're home for the rest of the month. Now, hopefully this is a game where you can empty your bench, so to speak, right? This game feels like one where we will see Lenoris Sellers play a good bit, because hopefully the starters put this one away early enough for them to get a little extra rest, and let's allow some of the younger guys to shine bright for a while. And so then, yeah, once the dust settles from Cockpocalypse, I have the Gamecocks at 6-3 with still a few games to go. And then after Jacksonville State, the Gamecocks will welcome Vandy to Williams-Brice. And we all know Vanderbilt. It's a program, it's a team that sort of feels like they're stuck in the mud a bit, right? Last year, they actually started all right, but things went sideways fast, especially once they get into SEC play. They end the year 5-7, which, you know, for Vandy, really isn't all that bad, right? I mean, that's one win away from a bowl game, which for Vanderbilt is a big accomplishment. I do think that Clark Lee is probably their best bet to do something with that program, as they've had really since James Franklin, but maybe the best bet that's going to come around for a while, right? But with the transfer portal and everything like that in college football nowadays, that's going to be a huge challenge for him to hold on to the talent that he develops. Because if you're good, you know, let's say you're under-recruited, you go to Vanderbilt, you're in the SEC, so you've got a lot of eyeballs on you, and you develop for 2 years, and you're good, it's going to be hard to say no if a team has an opening that, you know, maybe has a chance to go to a championship or something like that. So that's the challenge I see for Vanderbilt as long as the transfer portal is as it currently is set up. Now, bringing it back to South Carolina, the Gamecocks are currently riding a 14-game win streak against Vanderbilt, which is really something when you think about it. I mean, there were a couple of years where Carolina was not fielding very competitive teams. And even with that, they still managed to beat Vandy. Just good old Vanderbilt. You can always count on them. And I'm sure that one day that streak will come to an end. But I do not see a reason to think that it ends this year. And I have South Carolina winning yet again in this series to move to 7-3. Which brings us not only to the next game in the schedule, but the aforementioned Darude Day in Columbia, as this is the Kentucky game, and everything that is so amazing that the school is doing for this game with Darude, the energy is just going to be fantastic. It's going to be a really, really great day. And sneakily, I mean, maybe not so sneakily, really, this matchup between these two programs, this rivalry, so to speak, has really picked up its intensity, right? I think what you had was in the last coaching regime at South Carolina, you had a little bit of a shift, maybe more than a little bit, where Kentucky felt that they surpassed South Carolina. But now, Shane Beamer is reminding the SEC and Kentucky of their rightful place, which is beneath South Carolina. And as such, tensions have risen. I mean, Mark Stoops, he's created a pretty consistent program of guys that play hard, they play physical. He tends to have a veteran team. He tends to develop guys well. It's funny. I mean, you're Kentucky. You're basically just getting the cast-offs from Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, who play in that region. So you're still getting very talented guys. They're just, you know, a three, maybe low four-star, just not going to Ohio State. Whatever. But back to this matchup, I also just don't think Stoops and Beamer like each other much personally. I think that was made more evident with the sunglasses and the dancing and all that jazz, which, by the way, I absolutely hope Shane Beamer brings that back for this game. Maybe at the Darude concert, who knows? But, you know, we beat them in their place last year, so you know they're going to be coming for blood this game. Last season, they had a lot of hype and ended up at 7-5. They did make some pretty impressive moves in the transfer portal, though. So I do not think this is going to be a nosedive year from them by any means. They brought in a quarterback. They brought in a running back. But they're going to, you know, always be that program that's ground and pound, not a ton of flash probably, and one where you're going to need to strap up and you're going to face them head on. But, you know, if you can get up on them quickly, this is just what you kind of have seen from the Stoops teams. It can be tough for them to come from behind. They're not going to go away. They're never going to stray from a fight. But you got to get up and score on them quickly. And then you can sort of, you know, fight them off, so to speak. Now, their schedule is very backloaded. So don't be surprised if you see Kentucky start 5-1 on the year. And I'm serious. You look at their schedule, it's right there. Bunch of cupcakes to start the year, and then like Florida, and then Georgia. But then after their bye week, it is just the teeth of their schedule. So South Carolina comes after Kentucky faces Alabama. So they're going to be coming off a very physical game, no doubt. I think this game is going to be at 4 p.m. or later. Our fans know how big of a matchup this is. South Carolina can really, at this point in the season, they can be rolling potentially. You know, I mean, look at where I have them in the schedule. So the home crowd is going to be as electric as ever. You got Darude doing the Gamecocks chant to start the game. I think this is also a close game, but Shane Beamer pulls this one out and reminds Stoops of Kentucky's place amongst South Carolina, and I have the Gamecocks at 8-3 going into their final matchup of the year. And that final matchup is, of course, against those damned old Clemson Tigers. Now, we will all remember for a long time where we were and who we were with for that game last year. And, you know, not to live in nostalgia too much here, but I think winning that game proved to everybody in that locker room, but now, more importantly, everyone who is still in that locker room, who is still on this staff, on this team, it proved to them that anything is possible and that Clemson is not this big, bad, unbeatable school. And I think that carries over not just in this game, but in every game this upcoming season. But, you know, we can't talk about this team in the upstate without talking about what they did in the offseason, and they made some improvements. Most notably, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, brought in Garrett Riley to lead that offense. He's been successful wherever he has led offenses throughout his career. So that obviously makes you pause a little bit. I do think in my heart of hearts he's there for 2 years, probably max, before he's a head coach. But nonetheless, he's here now. But if we are to believe what everyone is saying about Dowell Loggins and his offense, then this Gamecocks offense will be more consistent, higher tempo, higher scoring, and truly have that ability to score early and often. And if my predictions hold true, and even if Clemson has an average year by their standards, this will end up being a very good ranked matchup, pretty highly ranked on rivalry week, tongue twister, and will very likely be a primetime game. And this would be a moment that could hold more weight than anything Shane Beamer has done at his career in South Carolina so far. A highly ranked Palmetto Bowl at night in Williams-Brice, that is more than shades of the peak Spurrier years. And if all of that comes to fruition, it is going to be this moment where Shane Beamer can ascend this program to incredible heights, and it will help pave the way potentially for years to come of recruits, of just the energy, and just solidify what he has done. So if the stars align and that happens, I think this matchup could honestly go down as one of the best that we've seen these two teams play in the last decade. I think it would honestly be a classic among the series. Just a back and forth game. And in that moment, with the stars aligning, I am absolutely siding with the Gamecocks at home to win two in a row over Clemson and end the regular season at 9-3. And what a moment would that be for Gamecock Nation. I mean, I got chills thinking about it. It would be just a phenomenal way to cap off what could be a very special year here. So yeah, obviously I have a very bullish outlook on this team, as I said I was going to, but I tried to be a little more realistic with y'all. I do have some losses thrown in there. I have 9-3 as the regular season record for the Gamecocks this year. It's funny because, you know, I'd be talking to friends for forever, you know, like even in baseball season, like what do you think football is going to end up at? And forever, I said 8-4 again. And I had it, you're picking up a win, you're picking up wins against Florida and Mizzou, and you're trading that for losses against Tennessee and A&M. And everything else holds true from last year. So I was like content with 8-4, right? I think that'd be a fine year, by the way. But then I realized that 8-4 meant you're losing to Mississippi State. And I don't see that happening at home. So then I said, well, shit, 9-3 it is. And, you know, it would just be such a special year. And I think what you really want to see, and I said this in my part one, is just consistency, right? Even if you do go 8-4, maybe that is beneath some people's expectations. But to do that back-to-back years is impressive. And if you can improve and get to 9-3, I mean, that is a bona fide, very, very good year. You're not just finishing, you know, 21, 19. You're top 15 probably at 9-3, especially if you're beating Clemson, you know, maybe a ranked Kentucky in there, Mississippi State, starting the year off with a ranked win against UNC. So this has a potential to be a very special year. You know, there's a lot of optimism this year. And last year, there was optimism too, right? Because you got these big transfers, Spencer Rattler. You saw what Beamer did to end the year, and you were feeling good. But now it feels a little bit more tangible where you saw how the year ended. you saw how Spencer can produce and, you know, other guys on this offense can produce when the offense suits them more. Again, that's a big question mark, but all signs point to Dowell Loggins creating an offense that suits his players and that they're comfortable in and that they can learn and ingest better, which would lead to smoother drives, better rhythm, all these things that just seem to escape South Carolina at times. Like in a game like Missouri last year, the offense just looked all out of sorts. I don't think that happens much this year. Of course, there's going to be moments, but I think it's going to be much more under control. So yeah, I got Carolina at a very, very fun season, a very more than respectable season, an amazing season at 9-3. But again, you want to see consistency, right? And it's tough in the moment to live that, right? There were times last year where you're like, my gosh, this is just going sideways here. And then you end up with this amazing year. So you really do got to wait and see how it all goes out. But I think it's a more consistent year, less up and down. I think the games are going to be closer. And that's really what you want. If you find yourself as a big underdog, can you keep it close? Can you keep it respectable? Be competitive in every game that you're in. And I think this shapes up to be a very fun year and an amazing year for the South Carolina Gamecocks. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode, way longer than 1801. But hey, it happens. We're talking Carolina football. Next episode is the first game preview. We are back. It's going to be so fun. Crows to the game and all that jazz. But please follow me on social media. Twitter or X is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review to the pod. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.